Welcome to the Good Vibes Club, a normal girl's guide to living your best life and being the best version of yourself. Whether you're listening on your commute, out on a hot girl walk, or curled up on your sofa, open your mind and get ready to feel those good vibes.
A new friend slash psychologist, do you want to introduce yourself? I feel like I would introduce you as a pal now.
But
you
actually, can do that.
We're new friends.
Okay, we can do friend hat and then we can do professional hat.
Friend hat. We met for coffee to talk about our podcast, going on each other's. Lucy also has a podcast. We'll get into that in a second. We ended up talking for a solid, I'd say, hour and a half about nothing to do with the podcast.
Yes.
Then ended up being like, whoops, we have 5 minutes till you need to leave and now we need to actually get into work mode.
And I think both of us had about six lines of notes on our phone and Now we've managed to structure. Well, my podcast twice because we realised the first recording didn't actually record, but we're going to structure two podcasts from it.
Yeah, we've done, this is our third episode of the day, but actually our second that was recorded because We messed up and got too excited.
Exactly. If I put my professional hat on though, I think Jess will do a bio of me properly, but I'm an accredited psychological coach. I work with women all over the world on Zoom to really help them to become the best version of themselves. And I know that is super important to you, Jess, and your audience. So we have that in common in that through one-to-one coaching with me, through working with my therapist in my practice, through my events, and now my own podcast, The Journal with Lucy Spicer. That really is my aim, to help you to understand and master your mind so you become your best self.
Basically, it's like two of the same. Like when we met, it was like talking to ourselves, but not.
It did.
Like
I
actually think I said to James after, I was like, I feel like I've just had coffee with myself.
No, I tell you what. Okay, this is a bit cringe, but I'm gonna reveal. I text Tom and I went, she was really great, really excited to have her on the podcast, and also think I made a new friend.
I did the same. I was like, I've made a friend.
Did you? That's so nice.
I was like, James, I forced her into park runs with me.
No, it's not forcing.
But then we found out you don't like Taylor Swift, and I don't know if that's a bit of a bump in the road.
I think it's going to be okay. I think we'll recover.
This is a Taylor Swift love.
Perhaps
podcast.
Part of my homework could be to go home and write a list of the songs that I do like, and maybe it'll shock us both that we realise there's more that I like than I dislike.
No, do you know what your homework's going to be? So we're recording this, guys, on 1989 day. If you're a Swiftie, you know the vibe. 1989, Taylor's version, it's come out. Even the podcast guy knew about Taylor's version of 1989. Your homework is to go listen to the album.
On the way home.
We've got about an hour's journey.
Okay, fine. What's my good vibe of the week? Sorry, she's listened to the pod.
Lucy's listened to the podcast. She's getting ahead of herself. What is your good vibe of the week?
Oh, no, you put me on the spot, and I had this in the shower because there were multiple...
I love that you thought about this in the shower.
I told you, I've listened to this multiple times. My good vibe of the week was last week I recognised that I was hustling too much and I was probably on the brink of burnout. So I cancelled something that I had scheduled in for Monday and instead took myself on a spa morning.
Love that.
Yeah, I didn't even have a treatment because they were fully booked, but I just lay on the sun lounger for 2.5 hours, dozing in and out of sleep, popped in the jacuzzi, popped out, popped into the sauna, popped out, and it was everything my nervous system needed to feel soothed and restored. And then I've gone back into the week feeling quite refreshed.
Do you know what? Nothing beats a spa.
Isn't it a wonderful thing to do?
I bloody love a spa.
Yeah.
I did one last week, actually.
Did you?
So good.
Okay, we're all in our spa.
We did it for
era.
My friend's birthday, but it was so nice. Like, you know, when you just go and you're like, I actually just need a bit of a break. And even if you're with friends and you're chatting away, like, it's a nice little break.
Yes.
Like a little reset moment.
Yes. And I think you need to sometimes force that break and change into a different environment, because if you're doing that at home, especially if you're working from home, it's so easy just to slip back into your habits.
So easy. Mm-hmm. I love that you just took yourself off for a spa morning and thought, need a reset, off I go.
If you don't follow me already, you need to. I am the queen of romanticising life and I will help you do the same. Yeah.
So for today's episode, we thought that we would give you a little juicy topic all about changing direction. It's something that a lot of you have mentioned wanting as an episode, and just the idea of, you know, hitting a point in your life where you feel like things are maybe thrown up a bit in the air and you don't really know which way is up and you just are changing direction and you don't know how to go about it. Maybe you've hit the point where you're hit a point in your career where you maybe don't want to be in that job anymore, or you feel like you just want to start something new, or maybe you've had your kids and they've just gone off to school and you just don't know what to do with yourself now and you're having a big life change of direction moment. Could be a breakup, could be anything, and how to kind of navigate that change and how to get started, how to feel the fear and do it anyway, all these little things. And obviously Lucy's going to use her little psychology brain to help us out.
Her little psychology brain.
I say
brain.
Her little,
her
about every
little psychology psychology brain.
Do you know what? I actually got shouted at, not shouted at, this morning. James said to me, I was like, oh, like little Jamesy. And he was like, Jess, I'm like 6 foot, whatever. And he was like, you're calling me little. And I was like, sorry, big human. I was like, it's just a cute little term of endearment. Like no, little, little.
Okay, guys, I'm going to use my little psychology brain. No, I can't.
I mean it in the nicest way possible.
I can absolutely put my psychological twist on things. Yes. It's something I support a lot of clients with. Mm-hmm. So I'd say most of my clients, I actually looked into this recently, are kind of late 20s into early 40s. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important time of transition. I think often life in a very like sort of Western culture is mapped out for us typically. Yeah. We go from nursery, we go to primary school, we go to secondary school. If we're in the UK, we do our GCSEs, we might pick our A-levels, we then pick our degree. Yeah. From our degree, we might then do our grad scheme, we do that. Lots of us like then like to move to London, you move up the steps in your career, and then suddenly there's maybe not as many steps ahead of you, and you, or you get to a point of self-reflection and you're like, does this align with me?
Like,
does,
you've done the things and then you're like, oh.
Yeah, is this what I want? Mm. And if we think about, you know, such a young age, 15, even picking your GCSEs, I remember being like, I don't have a clue. I was so lucky that I found psychology in A-level and that was just my thing. And I've been really lucky to be able to follow that path. But a lot of us are kind of just forced to pick from a young age, or maybe are trying to fulfill parental expectations and what they think that you should study. If you have lots of doctors in there, is this resonating? Why are you laughing?
No, so I just put a podcast up the other day and I used Troy Bolton, High School Musical, as a theory. Because Troy Bolton wants to do singing, dancing and acting. His dad wants him to do basketball and he's at a stalemate. And he, right. What does he do?
Right, so Troy, maybe like late 20s, has then gone like, oh, I never did that thing that I want to do. And this is what I see a lot with my clients, is they've got to that space, they've got really high up in their career and they're like, can't see this next step ahead of them. And then I don't actually want to do this. I want to do something completely different. But when you've got to that, when you've got to that stage, or success is a really important part of your identity, that can feel very threatening or very vulnerable to even contemplate doing something different and going in a different direction, especially when you've got to that stage in life and maybe you have dependents on you and you're, you know, worried about finances, to suddenly go, this isn't what I want. I want to do something differently, and having then all those fears that it might not work out or the risk that's associated, you may end up then just being stuck.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, a lot of people end up stuck in that career because they're like, I don't know what to do and I don't know how to get out. So they stay and they're comfortable, or they just don't really know how to do the next step. So if someone was coming to you and they said, I feel really stuck and I've hit this point, maybe they've, I don't know, had kids and now they're like, well, the kids are at school, I don't know what to do with myself. Or maybe they pursued a career and then they're like, actually, I don't know if this career is for me anymore. Or even a relationship breakup, because that can actually be quite a big time where you're like, oh God, like what now? Because that's quite a big thing to lose. And then it makes you change everything sometimes. So what would you say if someone came to you and they were like, I feel like I'm having this big life moment where I just don't know what's next and I don't know where to go?
Yeah, so I see this, the more that when you're talking to me and ask me that question, I literally had so many client examples like just literally flood into my brain, then I wanted to go in a whole different direction as well and talk about myself. So there's so much content here, but I'd say for anyone that comes to work, who wants to work with me, they have to fill out a form first before we have our discovery call. And it's about what you're struggling with is one of the questions. And so often I see the words, probably my three most common words I see is stuck, disconnected and lost.
Yeah.
I see it so much. And I've worked with clients in all different stages, whether it's a mum and her children have left the home, like you said, and wanting to start up her own career. Or again, women that have gone very high up in the corporate ladder and then they want to do something different with their career and their life. Or someone in their 20s and they've had an inspiration to want to go self-employed and how they navigate that. So I've really seen all walks of life and all parts of life. But I think the underpinning theme, or what I would start with my clients, is I would really start, and it sounds so basic, but actually supporting them in getting to know themselves.
Yeah.
Away from other people's expectations, away from the kind of conditioning that they might have grown up with. Actually, what's important to them? What are their values? because that would have changed over time. And then once we've kind of done that work and started to get to know them, start with mindset before I start with strategy. And that can sometimes feel quite frustrating for a client, especially if they are, and we all are in society now, like really wanting quick results and wanting the answer. I'm not helping a client if in session one, we've discovered together what that thing is and suddenly sending her away to do that thing without actually really giving that moment of reflection to make sure that it's something that they want to do, that's important to them, and that we've cleared any blockages that get in the way. Because we know as soon as we take ourselves, we even think about taking ourselves out of our comfort zone, we don't tend to then have like the, we might have a moment of it, of like sort of the positive cheerleader response of, yes, you're going to do it, you're going to know it's going to be amazing.
It's the, oh no.
Oh yeah. That negative inner critic is like, hey, this is my platform. I can't wait to tell you every single reason why it's not going to work out and why it's going to fail. And if we haven't worked through that and worked through that voice and where it's coming from and what's keeping it going and what's making it stronger, it's only going to continue to get into the way and block the thing that you actually want to do.
Which is so ridiculous, isn't it? That our own mind is like, oh, we really want you to do this, but actually we're going to tell you a million reasons you can't.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we can get quite frustrated with that inner critical voice because it can get really mean. I almost call it like your inner schoolgirl bitch. It's how I named mine. So if you're a client of mine, you will most likely have named your inner critic. So I have two. I have Penelope the perfectionist. She can be a nightmare. Because she comes along if there's anything that's like slightly overwhelming for me. So for example, I've written for Vogue India, and as soon as that request came in, Penelope the perfectionist shows up. She makes me procrastinate. She makes me research so many more hours than I actually have to. And so for that reason, she's a real saboteur. So I know her. Then I have the inner school girl bitch. My parents love them dearly, but sent me to an all-girls school.
Oh, no.
And we can imagine the sort of environment that might have been. So she comes up and she tends to be more around my capabilities and my appearance. But because we're almost laughing at them, and because I'm so aware of them, they don't have control over me. So I know where they might show up, but then they never take over. So they can feel frustrating, but I also know with my inner critics, why they get so loud and why that negative voice comes up, as you were sharing, Jess, is it's because it's actually wanting to protect you. It's wanting
to keep you safe.
Yes, to feed you all the reasons why you should not do this. You should stay safe. I don't know how that was for you, maybe when you were doing when you did your first YouTube video, for example, or your first Instagram post or your first piece of content for a brand. Like, did you have that experience as well with coming out of your comfort zone and that negative voice coming up?
100%. Yeah. I think with anything, like even, okay, so both of us with like starting podcasts.
Yes.
Did you not have the moment where you were like, can I actually do this? Like, what am I doing?
Yes.
Like, I literally bought the microphone. I've talked about this so many times on the podcast. I bought my microphone and I was like, I'm going to start this podcast. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to get out there. Like, I'm going to go for it. The podcast microphone turned up and I literally sat there and I was like, what do I do? Like, what do I do now? Like, how do I do this? And obviously I do a lot of it by myself. Like, I record at home, etc. And I literally had to sit there and be like, what do I do next? And I like cried to James and was like, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to send it back. Like, maybe I shouldn't do this. But then it's like the little steps that sometimes take someone else being like, hang on a minute, like, we'll help you out here. And he was like, go on YouTube, look up how to do it, ask a friend, like, do all these things that then just like push you in the right direction. So it's kind of like having those voices, which are like you said, they are there. They're always going to be there. You can kind of deal with them, but they're always going to show up, and it's just learning how to like stop them showing up a little bit.
Yes, because when you can quieten them, so if you're quietening that voice, then what you can kind of dial up or listen to or gain is more clarity. Because if that voice, especially with thinking about career change and doing something different, like imposter syndrome again, will make you believe all the reasons why you can't do that, all the reasons why you might be fraudulent or get found out or fail, you know, it can get so loud. So you're never going to get that clarity. You're going to continue staying stuck. And that's why it's such an important, it might not be the most obvious thing to work on to begin with, but that is such an important piece of work, is you learn how to manage that negative voice so then you can take those steps forward.
Okay, so question.
Yeah.
Kind of rewinding, but kind of moving forward.
Yeah.
So if you've got someone who comes to you, or, you know, in general, if there's someone listening who's stuck, What would you say if they're like, I don't know where to go next? Like if they were literally sat there and they're like, I can't afford a coach, or sure, I just don't know what I'm doing. I'm stuck. I hate my job. I hate this. I hate that. Like, I don't know where to go.
Yeah, I would start to pay attention to where you feel inspired, mm-hmm, to the things that you like, the things that you enjoy, the things that feel effortless. So really switch on that bias to look for the good and where things light you up, you know, if you're thinking about going into a different direction. I would take note of those things. Mm-hmm. And when you're in those places and you feel inspired, so really weirdly for me, like, okay, so I thought of my good vibe in the shower. Mm-hmm. My good thoughts don't come when I'm sitting at my desk.
Yeah.
It'll be doing when I'm anything random or in places that inspire me, or like travel. So recently I was really lucky to go to New York, and that was great for me with coming up and ideas. Like when I get out of my environment, that really helps. What you want to start doing is paying attention to those. So pay attention to those like little whispers of inspiration that might come your way, and log those down. And when you're looking at that, see what kind of lights you up and makes you feel excited. Really revisit the things that you value, mm-hmm, that's important to you. So when I made that leap from working in the NHS and psychology services to setting up my own business and now my practice, I got so clear on my values, and my values was to have flexibility, mm-hmm, and freedom and be financially stable and able to support myself. And my whole business model is really anchored on that. I can lift up a laptop anywhere in the world and I'm seeing my clients, yeah, and I'm making money. So you always want to anchor it to your values. So get very, very clear on that. And then just start doing your research. So listen to podcasts that inspire you. Read self-help books. Follow people on Instagram that you're like, oh, I like what they're doing. I'd like to do something similar. And then the clues will sort of reveal themselves over time. So that would be very practical. Also make a vision board, because I absolutely love them.
Bloody
on Pinterest.
Love a vision board.
Oh my God, do I love a vision board so much. But it's so interesting. Once you unlock that and you even give yourself permission to pay attention to those ideas, it's incredible what comes up. And I'm supporting a client on that exact journey right now. She's been stuck for years. All of my clients get a journal sent to them. It's in my podcast as well. And she's been writing ideas. We've quietened that voice. She's paid attention to what she's liked, and she's got this whole business plan that never was available to her before.
It's crazy, isn't it? How when you just like switch a certain little part and then everything just starts falling into place.
Yeah, little light switch.
But what do you think? So obviously, I think this is quite a big thing, especially in our age, and like your parents, their whole life, kind of say to us like, you should be the top dog at this, you should be the top dog. And if you say, I actually don't think I want to do that career anymore, or I think I want to go into something new, and they're like, they almost make you feel as if you failed because you're changing direction.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So like, there's almost that fear of failure. I know I've felt it before when I was like, oh, maybe social media is not forever. I'm going to start this new business venture, like do all these new things. And you kind of do feel like, am I failing because I've changed direction? Because it's almost like, say, for example, someone set up like I heard this on something recently, but you know, you've set up like a cafe. Maybe the cafe just isn't what you want to do anymore. And then you start doing, I don't know, a lawyer, random things to throw out, but you change direction. It doesn't mean the cafe's failed. It just means that you change direction to a different business venture.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense? I've thrown in such a rogue little example.
No, it's
me
not
and my
rogue.
Examples.
I think we're so attached to success. And mm-hmm. I think there's, when I dig deep with a lot of my clients, very common core beliefs are like fear of rejection, but mm-hmm. fear of failure is huge. And it doesn't tend to be fear of failure for them necessarily. It's more of fear of failure and then people's judgment around
yeah.
that. And I think we shoehorn ourselves into presenting in a certain way or doing certain careers and doing certain things to please others. If you're changing direction, it's really important to learn the skills to be able to detach yourself from that noise, because everyone will have an opinion, and every opinion is very biased and will yeah. come from a certain agenda. So your mum might be, or a mum might be saying, you know, don't do this, you know, what if it fails? That might be come from a place, not that she doesn't believe you can do it, but she just wants to protect you from any risk. But you, if you haven't sort of done that work, might just take that on as a real reason of why not to do it. So it's a skill to practice and to work hard on your mindset to actually be able to detach from not having to be the top dog at everything, but actually being able to learn a new skill and go in a new direction. And I think my question would always be, well, what would be the consequence of not doing that?
Staying comfortable.
Staying comfortable and not staying fulfilled. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like we've talked about in the podcast episode we just did on yours, everyone is always growing and changing. So it's so normal to want to change direction in things. Like, realistically, how many people stay in the same career from the minute they start working to the minute they retire?
Yeah.
Nowadays, I think our parents' generation is a bit different, but nowadays, everyone's changing it up. Everyone realizes that when you hit like 30, you change direction. Look at J.K. Rowling. Like, she didn't even start the Harry Potter series till she was, I might be wrong in this, but like in her 40s, right? Yeah. Like, a lot of these big people, like Vera Wang, didn't start her business till she was in her 50s. Yeah. Like, all these people changed career direction and it went really well. And it's just, not many people do stick in that same thing, do they, really? Like, everyone kind of... Not okay, you have got the percentage, like Lucy, who's stayed in the same thing, but a lot of people do mix
it up. Let me just pull out my book of statistics.
But it's true, isn't it? Like, a lot of people do, like, change direction.
Yeah, they're really saying that about our generation now, in that we're very different. And it's really interesting about this changing direction as a generation, but even culturally, there's so many differences. So my boyfriend's South African, and in South Africa still, it is very much you learn a skill and you stick to that, and that's what you continue. Whereas I think in London now, and certainly like experiences with people around me and obviously with clients, we are chopping and changing more. And I think that's really exciting. I think that's a really exciting opportunity that we are allowing ourselves the freedom to try out different things throughout our lifetime.
To be fair, we're actually one of the first generations that had the option. Because you think, so like if you go back to our grandparents, they left school, they got married, they had babies, they settled down, the man worked, that was how it was. Then you've got our parents' generation where it kind of was still a lot of that, but not really. Whereas our generation, it's like, I don't know about you, but my parents were like, go and see the world. Don't settle down in a job. Go and see the world. Do everything first. Don't have kids till you're in your 30s. Like, it very much was like, don't make the mistakes everyone else makes.
Interesting.
And it was like, go and like be and have fun. And you don't need to settle in like one career forever. Like, you can just do what you want.
Yeah.
But then a lot of people don't necessarily have parents like that. But we're all just kind of experimenting. Like, we're literally just guessing our way through life.
We are. And I said, you know, we're making decisions from such a young age of what it is that we might want to do. Just to normalize what you were saying, you know, for the listener who has maybe thought of going in a different direction and is really worried about starting something new and maybe, you know, having to learn a new skill and worries about other people's thoughts about them even doing that. Like, that is a really normal response, and you're really not alone in that. That is not just a you thing.
What would you say if someone said to you, right, I want to change direction, I know what I want to do, help? Making that step into avoiding the negativity without help on their own, they're out there, they maybe can't get therapy or they can't afford all these other things, and they're like, I just don't know how to do this on my own. They're listening to the podcast, they're so inspired, and they're just like, what now?
Okay, so we've spoke about those first, the more like information gathering, getting yourself into sources of inspiration space. So as I said, that was absolutely where I'd start. You need something to go off on. You can't just, you know, fumble your way around and pick anything. So I think it's really, make sure this next step is really aligned to who you are and what your values are. So through those steps that I mentioned, then through that space of seeking free resources, whether that's through podcasts, Instagram, good old TikTok, wherever it is, to have clues or to find information so you can go in that space. And then to think about that critical voice, I would just start to pay a bit more attention to it. So you could even start by naming it. So like Penelope. Or your inner schoolgirl bitch, or, you know, it's so many different things for so many of my clients. So start to pay attention to that voice. Think, what can I call it? When is it showing up? Where is it showing up? What kind of things is it making me believe about myself? Get super clear on that. Think, how long has it been around? Really think, like, how mean can it get? Because they can usually get very, very mean. And once you've created a character out of that, so it comes from narrative therapy. I used to do this in the hospitals with children around anxiety. So working with children, it's very difficult for them to be able to talk about their emotions in a way that you might, Jess, because they haven't got that emotional maturity. You know, they're much younger. So we would create worry monsters, and they'd actually be cuddled. They're really flipping cute. They're actual teddy bears that you could buy from the hospital shop. And we'd bring the worry monster into the session, and we would get the worry monster would be our character that they could then talk through about their anxiety. So what does the worry monster worry about, et cetera, et cetera. And the same thing works for us. It's externalization. We're turning this voice into something, and in creating a character out of it, we then have more control over it. It's a thing. We can laugh at it, you know, like we did today. And once you do that, you start to weaken that voice. So be aware of that voice. Be aware of the beliefs that it might have shaped for you. Be aware of the things that it might say to you, and then you almost want to create your superhero character. So if you've got your worry monster, you know, who is that higher version of yourself? Who is that best, most empowered version of yourself? Like we both share, you know, the best version of yourself. Mm-hmm. Who is that? And I'd start to get you to think, okay, who is she? What does she look like? How does she show up? What does she believe about herself? What does she believe about her capabilities? What would her next steps be in terms of what it is that you might want to do, want to achieve, want to set up or go for an interview? And you start to channel her more. So you're aware of the negative, and then when that comes along, you can go, oh, here it is again. And no thanks, Penelope, don't need you. And instead really tune into that higher self, that more empowered version of yourself, and that almost becomes your guide to the next steps that you might take. So it's something that I always practice with my clients, is I get them to tune in. Well, what would your higher self say? What would your higher self's advice be right now, and how you manage the situation?
And your higher self is always one decision away.
It sounds a bit woo when I describe it, but I would be absolutely channeling that. You know, how's the inner critic is probably going to listen to people's criticisms, listens to people, you know, trying to put you off or ridiculing you for whatever it is that you want to do. The higher self's not. The higher self's going to tune into what's important to you and believe that you're able to do it and help you to feel empowered to make those next steps.
And I think ultimately, alongside that, people are always going to judge you. People are always going to have opinions on what you're doing. They're always going to like everyone is always going to have something to say about everything that we do or say or think or anything. Like, people are always going to have opinions. So it's kind of drowning out those opinions and just thinking of what makes you happy, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say we've got an example and you've got Emma who's like, I am currently doing this job and now I want to be an artist.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking Princess Diaries in the mum. I don't know why that's coming to my head. Love a good reference. But she is on this one career path, wants to do something completely different, has done the work. She's like, I'm really positive. I really want to do this. I'm ready to go. Like, I'm ready to kickstart this new life.
Yeah.
But then she's like, how do I do it? What do I do next?
Yeah.
Like the stepping stones. How do we get to that job? So we've worked on the negative voice. We've got the inspiration. We know what we're going to do.
Great.
How do we like jump over that little hurdle and start like going into that new career?
Yeah.
Or that new thing?
So I always map it out with my client. So we always want to break it down into manageable steps. If we have just got too big a goal like that, the chances are is that we'll talk ourselves out or we just won't know where to start. So for example, say I had a client that now wants to become a Pilates teacher and she's left her corporate role and wants to go into Pilates. So she wants to be a fully booked Pilates teacher. Love that. Supporting that.
Great job.
Here for it. Amazing. We would strip that right back. So if that's the end goal, what are the steps that need to happen to get to that place?
So like researching what courses you need, right, etc.
Getting on the course, setting up your social media, setting up, I support my clients with all of this, booking that photo shoot, getting your website, scouting out different studios, going for an interview at a studio, having a class there, then trying another interview in a studio, building out your following. How do you do that? Setting up a newsletter. You know, it's all these things, but we literally, the mind can get so easily overwhelmed that we would strip it back and really focus on, well, what's the next step ahead of you? Because if you think of all those steps, it can feel too daunting. It can feel too anxiety provoking. It can feel too much. So I'm saying all the times in sessions with my clients, strip it back, strip it right back. Let's focus on the next one. And the chances are, which is exactly what's happened with that client that I'm mentioning, she's looked back, she has a website, she has a social media, she's working in three studios.
Amazing.
If I said that to her at the beginning of the year, she'd be like, the idea wasn't even there for Pilates.
But you know what I think so nice is that we're in a generation now where you don't need to have the most qualifications ever to go for a job now. Like, you can literally just, like, I've got a friend who recently started doing one job. She's now got a social media role and she's doing social media, like, content creation. I can't remember the exact job title, but something along those lines. She's got no qualifications in it. She doesn't have any experience in that industry, anything, but someone was willing to give her a chance. Yeah. And I think that's so important as well, is that I also agree that you should try and get qualified if you need to in things, and you should always look into
especially
these
in my
things.
Job.
Yes. But I do think that there's also, if something that you want to do, say, for example, like a social media role, people are willing to give you a chance now, and you don't need to go back to university for every single job role. You don't need to go and have like 7 years of experience in that job role. Like, people do give you a chance sometimes.
Yeah. And it's interesting.
Obviously, I think job role dependent.
Sometimes these roles, the skills aren't teachable.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important, obviously, as a psychologist and to work in the psychology field, you get your degree, you got my master's like I have done, usually then there's a doctorate, that's essential. But what I believe is going to make a good psychologist is you can meet someone in the waiting room, anyone in the waiting room, you know, despite their background, their presentation, anything, and you can form a therapeutic relationship with them and they're going to want to come back to the next session. I could have the exact same theories, models, strategies as another psychological coach, but because our personalities or our manner with our clients is different, you're going to get completely different results. It's one of my first supervisors, she's a consultant clinical psychologist, and she said to me, the most important thing is that therapeutic relationship. And so some skills like that just aren't,
they're not teachable. Yeah.
And I think it's so great as well that we're going back to kind of more apprentices and doing things in a different way. So it's not just degree focused, because that is a lot of time and it's a lot of energy.
And a lot of money as well.
A lot of money to do something that you might not even want to do.
Yeah. It's such a big, I think university especially, I think there's such an emphasis when you're a teenager to go to university to get a job. I did fashion design, right? Yeah. Granted, doing fashion design helped me so much with so many different skills that I wouldn't have if I hadn't done it. But I probably could have gone off on my own and learned some of those and still got an entry-level job at a fashion house and worked my way up. Because like Simon Cowell, for example, isn't it true that Simon Cowell doesn't even have GCSEs? Am I right in thinking that?
Perhaps.
Like, he literally got a job in Sony and that's how he worked his way up. But he hasn't got qualifications in it. Yeah. He just worked his ass off and got his way up the ladder.
Yeah. I think it's such a great way of doing things. I think I'm doing this classic thing where I'm like focused on this conversation and I'm also back on like 3 or 4 points ago. But I just wanted to add... because you've thrown, you know, the question to me, if you weren't in a position to invest in coaching or therapy at the moment, what would I do? And another massive piece of my work is the accountability. You know, my clients are showing up and I think that accountability is huge. So if you haven't got a therapist or coach, maybe you can pick a friend or someone that you're close to who you check in with every week, or you tell them that you're going to do that one thing towards this career change that you're taking or this new direction you're going in. So yeah, just wanted to insert that as well. Accountability is magic.
No, it's so true. Because I think it's like anything, isn't it? If you don't work at it, you're not going to get it. Like, you have to put the work in to get the reward.
Yes. And like, you can talk yourself out of it so quick.
Yeah. Sometimes it just lands in your lap, but very rarely. Like, you have to put the work in together.
Yeah. And I think if you know you're showing up reporting to someone else, it's huge. I've gone back to bucket lists in recent client sessions as well. And they're loving it. We're literally writing a bucket list of the things they want to have ticked off before the next session. And it's working really well.
But it makes sense, because it's like a tick list of like, I need to have done this or I want to do this. It's like, you know, people do the bucket list where it's like things before 30 and like all these kinds of things. It's good because it's literally like keeping yourself accountable. Or like an online fitness coach, for example, like, you know that you're checking in every 2 weeks. So you want to keep doing those workouts.
Right.
So you keep doing them because you want to check in with that person and be like, look what I've done.
Yeah.
Rather than if you maybe didn't have a coach and you're like, oh, it's been 2 weeks and I've gone for one run. And, you know, it's always the like tomorrow thing, isn't it? Of like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow.
Yes.
I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. And then you never do tomorrow.
Yes.
And tomorrow never comes.
Yes. Reward systems are gorgeous as well. Sticker charts work beautifully as a child for that reason, but they still work as adults.
Yeah.
You know, and you can reward yourself for doing that thing. I celebrate literally every milestone in my business. So for the podcast, I invested in some sunglasses that I really, really wanted. I bought myself the big Diptyque candle when I met a certain milestone in my business as well. So I'm always, we love positive reinforcement. I'm always rewarding myself. And I think if we're looking at motivation, that's really important.
Do you know what's nice as well? Even if it's like the mini rewards. So like, say for example, like you said with the Pilates one, setting up a website, not going to lie, takes a lot of brain power, especially if you don't have help. Like, I basically set mine up by myself and it's a lot of work.
Yes.
Like, I have someone help me a little bit, but like, I like to be a one woman show.
I've heard
I love
that.
I'm
getting that
show.
Sense from you.
I yeah. don't like getting.
Whereas I'm like,
I'm too much
delegate.
Of a control freak. Just having that reward where it's like maybe you do set your website up one evening, or you make the social media account and you reward yourself with something really small, like I'm gonna get a nice little Starbucks coffee for myself
yeah.
this evening.
Oh, I love that.
Or you know, work in a Starbucks yeah. and buy, or going out for dinner with your friends, or like having those mini rewards yeah. where you're maybe treating yourself to like a lush bath bomb to have a nice bath. Like they don't need to be necessarily like big rewards.
They don't.
Obviously, if you're getting to the top of it and you're like, I'm going to treat myself to this really fancy thing. But just like the mini rewards for like the mini steps as well.
I think that's huge.
So for example, I saw someone online talking about like running milestones and like fitness milestones. Mm-hmm. Always about running in my world at the moment. But like, it was like, okay, when you hit your first like 10K or something, you reward yourself with like a cute gym outfit, or like yeah. you reward yourself with those mini little things. Like maybe you bought yourself some running socks or like something really boring, but that relates to what you're doing.
Yeah. But it needs to, I think it's always important that it's motivating. So it's yeah. whatever is special for you. And I think it's always on different scales. They yeah. were particularly big milestones in my business. I've wanted to do a podcast since they helped me 8 years ago, perhaps. Yeah. But otherwise, yesterday was a hot chocolate. From yeah. Girls. Oh my gosh. The hot chocolate. Did you have a hot chocolate when we met in Girls?
I can't drink them. Lactose
oh, so
life.
Sorry.
I know.
Okay, I can tell you the dark
this
chocolate.
This is why I just said to you
phenomenal.
About the fridge in there.
Oh yeah,
the
that
fridge
must
in
be very triggering to Jess.
The fridge that the studio we're in. I went to make a coffee and there was literally about 30 bottles of normal milk. Yeah. And I was like, oh.
I actually don't think that was an exaggeration.
No, there genuinely was like, loads. It was a massive fridge and it was stocked yeah. full of just
That's
milk.
Great.
It was gross. But yeah, I can't drink the Girls' Hot Chocolate.
Okay, sorry to all your listeners.
But great
and
for
my
you.
Listeners. Dark hot chocolate, oat milk, thank me later.
I wonder if I can have it if it's dark chocolate. Maybe.
Maybe.
Don't
okay,
know, off topic.
Yeah, reward systems, accountability, reward systems. Maybe I should. Should I just I'm going to recap.
Go through.
Yeah, how I would do it. I'm really trying to strip this back to something you can do by yourself. Obviously, it would. I fully support that and doing self help. It's different, of course, when you're working with a therapist and coach. But I think these would absolutely be my starting points of how you could try and do this work by yourself. So. Find what you like, find where you feel inspired, write down any golden nuggets of wisdom or inspiration that you have about ideas that you might want to do. Import vision board, lovely. Pinterest, collect any images that uplift you, inspire you, feel like you want to, you know, work towards whatever it is that you want to achieve. From there, we're then wanting to work on the mindset, so getting to know that inner critical voice. Then we're going to challenge that with that gorgeous higher self
superhero.
Empowered superhero voice. Then from that space, hopefully getting some clarity in terms of the direction that you want to move in, thinking about that endpoint, and then I'm talking so simple steps, like the smaller the step the better. Strip it right down to those small steps of where you can to get to that end goal. Set up an accountability partner if you can, and create mini rewards if that's motivating to you.
To be fair, your accountability partner could even be like your mum or your partner. Like it could literally be anyone that you trust.
Yeah.
Or you get yourself a coach or a therapist and you work through it that way.
Or you do it that way.
Obviously, it goes without saying, if you do want to speak to Lucy, we'll leave all her bits in the show notes, by the way, guys. Like I recommend, as her new friend that I've forced upon her. Actually, we kind of forced it upon each other.
So unfair on yourself, because we did shit. Was it at the honestly, we've been recording for 4 hours, guys. That's
my God,
it's
3 hours.
It's
been three.
Was it in this one where we mentioned the new friend? Yeah, it was your this
episode. Was it my one or was it your one?
I
can't remember.
It's this episode. We both had the same reflection after that we made a new friend. So please, can you not put this pressure on yourself that you forced anything?
I kind of did though. I was like, can you come on a park run? Come on a park run. Come on.
I'm really keen.
We're doing it. We're doing it on Saturday. But I will obviously leave all of her links and stuff down below if you want to find her and get chatting, etc. All of the information on how to contact you will be in the show notes.
Great.
I'm assuming you have like a form and stuff, right, that people fill in. Did I get that right?
I've got everything going on. Come on through, have a look at my Instagram, read my client stories, listen to my podcast. My first episode was with a client that I worked with for mm-hmm. a year, so I'll give you a really good idea of what it's like to work with me. You'll come onto my website, you'll fill a form. My operations manager, Aurelia, who is the warmest, kindest, loveliest woman in the world, will then contact you, arrange to book in a discovery call with me. I will listen to kind of what you are looking for support with, what your difficulties are. I'll share with you how I can best support you, and then we go from there. The magic
and you
happens.
Can just have a little chat. Absolutely. Get comfortable. Remember, guys, magic happens outside the comfort zone. So if you feel a bit uneasy about it, it's a good thing. Always have a chat first, because you might even have the chat with you and then decide they don't want to do it. That's okay too, right?
Of course.
So it's just, yeah.
It's about finding your person. Exactly what I said. Find, when you're looking for this, when you're finding a therapist, when you're finding a coach, make sure that you want to be in their energy, because yes. You'll be in their energy a lot. But if you've got a sense of me, this is what I'm like. There's nothing scary, and I'm here to make it as comfortable as possible. Yes. I've been doing it for 10 years.
But that is so important, I think, finding the right person.
Absolutely.
For you. Because not everyone gels with everyone, and that's okay.
Yes.
Be the ripest peach, and not everyone likes peaches.
Absolutely.
Say it all the time. But thank you so much for coming on
thank
the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope that your listeners take something away from this. And yeah, this is the time of change.
Time of change, time of reflection, all the good things, comfort zones out the window.
Absolutely.
Onwards and upwards to good things.
Let me leave you with one saying, which is my favourite, and I always come back to whenever I'm doing something out of my comfort
zone. Go for it.
Okay. What if it's better than I expected? What if it's even better than I expected?
Love that.
Done.
Love it. End of the episode. Done. Finished. Cut it here. But thank you so much for coming on.
We'll leave
the links and stuff down to Lucy's episode as well, because we're going to have one on each. The one on hers is more about friendship and all that kind of good stuff. So yeah, we'll round it off here.
Cool.
Speak to you in the next episode. Bye, guys.
This is a paid partnership with BetterHelp. Are you trying to live your best life but just feel like you need a little bit of guidance to fully reach your potential? Well, that used to be me too, and I want to share a little secret of mine with you. Last summer, I felt like I needed a bit of extra guidance in my life and really struggled to find a therapist online because there's so many to search through, and it's a little bit daunting when the database seems endless, but that's where I found BetterHelp, and they made things so much easier. BetterHelp is a platform that connects you with a fully trained and personally selected therapist through a series of questions to understand exactly what you need. Their mission is to make therapy more accessible, which is so important because finding a therapist can not only be really challenging, but you're also limited to just a therapist in your area. Once you've accepted your therapist, you can then choose dates and times which suit you best for your sessions, whether that's a phone call, video chat, or even messaging through the app, because therapy should work for you and your needs. I particularly like the journal feature on the app because it means if I have something going on throughout the week, I can write my thoughts down so that I can discuss it with my therapist in the next session. And I have the memory of a goldfish, so this really, really helps me if there's something on my mind. And then as soon as I'm asked the question of what do you want to talk about this week, I seem to just fall short. But the best part of the app, if you don't get on with your therapist, then it's super easy to switch to someone new without it being awkward, because you're not going to get on with everyone. And it's nice to know that the option is there to change too. And another great thing is that as a Good Vibes girly, you can get 10% off your first month of BetterHelp by visiting betterhelp.com/goodvibes. That's betterhelp.com/goodvibes, because everybody deserves a great therapist, if you want one, of course. I've popped the discount in the show notes for you if you did want to give it a try, and hopefully you can find your perfect therapist while saving a little bit of money in the process. You're welcome.